Ryan.
Ooh.
On today's episode.
Different than the last episode. It's a little different. Tone-wise.
Are there certain narratives floating out there around the Nets? Oh, they can't beat big teams. Kyrie, Harden, KD, how are they going to play together? Oh, the Nets have no bench. Oh, Steve Nash's rotations. There's all these narratives.
Have you heard all of them on this show unironically? Of course. Of course you have.
Yeah. 2 days ago. We're going to talk the Nets' most joyous victory of the year against the Bulls. A beatdown in Chi-Town.
Nice.
Welcome back to the Glue Guys. This is Mike and
Hello.
Melvin.
I came in really early.
Check us out on Twitter at BKGlueGuys, NetsDaily.com, The Athletic. Get yourself behind the paywall at TheAthletic.com.
Do it, Michael. Give it to me. I needed it.
The people really wanted that. The people needed it. They wanted it. Brian, the Nets are back. The Nets are back.
That happened. I mean, that's going to be on the thumbnail. It's got to be in full and big block letters. They're back. Mike, it was a great game. It was a late game. It was unnecessarily late again, but we did it. We're back.
The funny thing is, so Brian's feeling, let's just be honest, let's lay it out there because people are going to be feeling your vibes.
Yeah.
They're going to be feeling the negativity. Tell people what's going on in your life. Because this was the best game of the year.
I'm super positive and I'm stoked.
Okay.
But I also have a back spasm and... these late games are starting to really piss me off, Mike. That's all. That's all I'm trying to say.
I was loving it. I've been doing a new way to watch basketball games, and I suggest everyone do the same. If you have like a YouTube TV, you have DVR where you stream and capabilities, all that stuff, wait like 20 minutes after tip, watch the game. During halftime, watch Book of Boba Fett.
Okay.
And then catch back up, and you can skip all the free throws. What a game.
Do you think they're ever going to make a piece of Star Wars media that you won't just completely absentmindedly consume?
Yeah, and the funny, and not to, we will talk Nets, Bulls,
but Let's.
Book of Boba Fett isn't good.
Yeah.
It's just not, and like, the lead actor is, he played the role of Jango Fett many, many years ago in those horrible prequel movies, and they're just like, yeah, let's throw, I mean, it's fine, but
anyway.
It's just not a very good show. There was like a Vespa biker gang in this episode.
Ooh.
That gets you in.
I'm in.
The Vespa biker gang pulls you in.
I'm sold.
Brian!
Michael, we did it.
The Nets are back.
That was a joyous victory. A statement win, if you will, Michael. Statement.
A true statement. It frankly really best win of the year. I think we can definitively say it was a true joy to watch.
Yeah.
The connectivity. The
a lot
excitement.
Of connectivity. You said that was a nice, that's no, there's a lot of connectivity there.
There's a lot of connectivity. It felt like, so like, we've had these fever dreams in the past of what this Nets team could be. Like, we've all gone to bed and had those dreams of Kyrie Irving, James Harden, and Kevin Durant all playing on the floor together. We saw it. We were teased by it in 8 games last season.
Yeah.
All right? And it's been a massive point of discussion for us. I mean, since the moment that Kevin Durant and Kyrie have signed here, like, they've had this existence where sometimes they're in and out of the lineup. There's no consistency. It's become a meme that the Nets just don't have consistency.
Mm-hmm.
And they continue to not have consistency because Kyrie's unvaccinated. But the peak Nets, that's a pretty high peak.
Mm.
That's the highest peak in the NBA is peak Nets.
Yes.
It's just that they can't obtain it all the time. But this game was Patty Mills corner threes.
Yeah,
Dayron Sharp.
We even saw James Harden corner three, just a completely standstill corner three for James Harden. You haven't seen it in a year, and now we have it again.
And it's not like Kyrie didn't play well.
No,
but I think the effect of Kyrie impacted so much of that game. It's like, you know, I've been blabbering on about Joe Harris.
You have been
about
motor,
how Joe Harris,
motor mugging. For weeks.
Yeah. And finally he may come back and he's going to alter this team. Kyrie didn't play well. 4 for 10 from the field, 9 points, 3 assists. He was really kind of a non-factor in terms of on the court production. But having his presence out there and like forcing the Bulls to at least account for Kyrie Irving made it so that like James Harden had more room to operate. KD only took 10 shots. Now he took a bunch of free throws. So he took more than 10 shots from the field, but he accounted for 10 field goal attempts. And he had 27 points, 9 assists, 1 turnover. Harden, 25 points, 16 assists. And so many of them in the fourth quarter were
just
gorgeous.
Styling. Just really styling and profiling.
Dancing on your face dimes.
Yeah.
How was it in the Discord? How was it on the
It was
the
joyous.
Twitch
how
stream?
How could it not be? I mean, also the Dayron coming out party is another spectacular element of this, obviously.
What did you think of
it's going to be hard not to get carried away and have some really hot takes that might not age well, but I'm going to try. I'm going to try not to.
Do you
to.
Know who took the most shots last night for the Nets?
I don't.
Dayron Sharpe.
I was going to say that's
Dayron Sharpe.
Is it too easy to say Dayron? That's interesting. I guess I wouldn't have guessed that had we not teed it up. But you know, there is something to be said if we're gonna take the hottest take version of it. Like, I'm not gonna say Dayron is like the key to everything, but having a rim roller,
wow, Brian's about to say
an actual rim rolling, threat is really important. And at present, Nick Claxton, love him to death, is a defensive powerhouse. Has stone hands and cannot be trusted for in rhythm rim rolling. And not that Dayron can either yet. This is just one really good outing. We've never seen an outing like this from Nick Claxton where he's just really locked in with one of our star players, in this case, James Harden, but also with KD and stuff too. Like, he was getting fed from everybody and just really playing that distance with his defender neatly, rolling appropriately, and getting like good, like just finishing really well, you know, good lift and do like contorted layups here and there. Like, you know, that's something that Nick Claxton can do, but I didn't know that Dayron had a soft finishing touch, which it appears he might be able to do that. Lots to like there.
I mean, I know you're an acolyte of the Mohs hardness scale. I don't know if you know about Mohs scale of mineral hardness. Mohs is named after German geotologist and mineralogist Friedrich Mohs. Frenchman.
Sorry, are you going to say something I don't know already, or what?
That's the standard for hardness. If Nick Claxton is Mohs hardness 7, if he's a quartz, I would say Dayron Sharpe is a gypsum, Mohs hardness 2, maybe even a talc.
What is this hardness? Is this you're like? I don't want to.
This is
how hard
Mohs hardness. It's how you grade how hard a mineral is. Okay. The lightest mineral that they have here is talc, which I imagine is how talcum powder is made. Okay. And the hardest mineral is diamond. So I would say
your hard is diamonds watching. Anyways, sorry.
I would say Nick Claxton is somewhere between a quartz and a topaz, which is very high up, 7 or 8. And I would say Dayron Sharpe is a 2 or 3.
I get what you're doing, but I don't understand why the context is hardness. What is that?
Hard hands or soft hands.
Okay. So hands. So I'm with it now. Sorry.
Nick Claxton's
I had a late game last night.
Our quartz or topaz.
Yeah.
And
got it.
Dayron Sharpe's is gypsum or calcite.
I'm with you. Okay. Wow. Good. Good to be back on the same page.
Apology. This was like a real, like, as you were talking, like, this is going to be a hilarious segment.
It was good.
And
I like
it. To clue you in on that.
Yeah.
Killer comparisons, mineral hardness to Nets players.
Nets players, hands, guys.
Hands. I will start with this about Dayron Sharpe. This is the official Dayron Sharpe segment, okay? So clip it for YouTube. This is it, okay? This is the Dayron Sharpe segment. Offensively, so damn smooth. It's not even that he received every pass, handled it pretty much every pass pretty well. There's a couple of misses, but every big man is going to have a couple of misses. He's like that really, you're a big hip guy.
Huge,
right?
Huge hip guy.
You scout via the hip.
It's one of the keys. It's one of the three important keys. And I won't get into the others.
Right. It's too complex.
Yeah.
It's not the most but scale.
It is the first domino to fall, though, is the hips.
So his hips, he's got this like nice shifting ability. He's like a salsa dancer.
They're loose hips. Yeah.
Very loose hips. He has a great ability to, when he's receiving a pass as he's driving down the paint, to quickly just shift him back. He has great balance and awareness of like where the backboard is.
Yeah.
Because all those plays, Nick Claxton's a dunker, and I love a dunker. And this is not like an anti-Nick Claxton segment, because I think it's exciting that you have Nick Claxton and potentially De'Ron Sharp as contributors on some level. I'm not going crazy here.
Let's not.
But De'Ron's all layups, all off the backboard. He has a great awareness of where he has to get the ball off the backboard to put it back into the bucket.
Yeah.
And the thing I love about De'Ron Sharp, particularly for this team, and again, this is like, come on, guys. This Bulls win was extraordinary. So we're going to go, this is going to be a ridiculous, everything we're going to say is like,
it's going to age terribly. It's going to age really badly. Yeah.
If you don't know, De'Ron Sharp went to Montverde Academy in Florida. It is the greatest basketball school in terms of high school basketball in the country right now. The team that he played with at Montverde Academy, Scotty Barnes was there. Cade Cunningham was there. I think, who was the pick that the Warriors took out of Arkansas? Not Moses Moody. Is that his name? Moses Moody?
Yeah.
I'm going to look that up. I don't know. I'm talking.
But I mean, everyone, but butchers
Moses Moody, a shooter out of Arkansas that the Warriors took with the 14th overall pick. He also was at Montverde Academy with De'Ron Sharp. De'Ron played with all of these NBA lottery picks in high school. When De'Ron was coming out of high school, he was considered the best recruit that North Carolina got that year and one of the best recruits in the country. The thing I like about that, he's played with high-level talent pretty recently in most of his life. His high school basketball team was better than North Carolina. Went to North Carolina.
Wow.
And fired. The thing that playing with talent, he's learned to like how he needs to operate. He's never been like, he wasn't this guy who's like, oh, I'm going to get the ball all the time. I'm going to dominate. I'm going to be like the center of attention. He actually learned to be a role player in high school while being super talented, because he had to play with Cade and Scotty Barnes and all those dudes. What is he doing in the pros?
Wow.
Trade Brian. Trade alert.
Whoa. Wow. The Wire.
Hawks have traded Cam Reddish to the Knicks for a protected first round pick.
Okay. Jay from BK is going to be upset. This is the guy that he had a Twitter fight with, a fake Twitter fight.
Yeah. Oh, and the Knicks are getting our second round pick that I guess the Hawks had for 2025.
Of bastards.
Who cares? Like, I mean, that's fun. Cross him off the board. But
can I add an extra? Let me bolster up your position a little bit, further. And not again. I don't want to create a tension, any kind of manufactured tension between Claxton and De'Ron Sharp, because again, it is
manufactured.
I don't want to do that. But using your comparison here from their pre NBA, their pre pro, like Claxton had a whole different responsibility. He was the guy on his Georgia team. Whereas, you know, so he was tasked with like basically being an offensive engine. And you can kind of feel that in the way that they play differently now, because like Claxton, when he runs a play, it feels like he's like, it's almost like it's a drill. Like he's running, it's almost like he's like, I don't expect to really get the ball in this thing. And this is how I would run it in a practice. So like my pick and roll is just like, I'm supposed to be here. And then like the play is I run over here. It doesn't feel fluid. It doesn't feel dynamic in the way that he would actually expect to like be integrated into that offensive play at any point. And then when he is, it's always like, oh, I'm so surprised. And that's why I have diamond hands.
Don't be so mean.
Sorry. It's topaz hands. And again, I'm not out on Nick Claxton. We love Nick Claxton. It's just, these are just points of comparison. That's all.
And if we're doing the comparison point, as much as I love De'Ron Sharp, I think defensively he was like bad.
Yeah.
And that's understandable. Because,
and that's the yin and the yang to our front court here. This is it's a good problem to have, you know?
It's another one dimensional player that Steve Nash can employ. Cause like at the beginning of the game, in like that first quarter, De'Ron was getting kind of roasted. Like he was switching late. He doesn't have that much verticality. At least that's what he's not showing that right now.
Mm-hmm.
So defensively wasn't good. I mean, he used to also have a lot more weight on him.
Yeah.
And part of the thing of like, if you were a really heavy big man is, now you have more athleticism. You have to get used to using the athleticism and not rely on just having like a body bag on your belly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, if you were a big, heavy dude, that's a defensive strategy for leaning against offensive players. He doesn't really have that. He now looks like an averagely sized big man, where before he was like kind of, you know, hefty man.
Hefty man.
Hefty boy. Big brawny man.
They still have him at 6'11", 265 on Basketball Reference. I looked at it. 265 seems feels like a
small
lot.
Yeah. Nothing small about Mr. Shaq.
But I also liked how they kind of went away from Deron on Vucevic, and I kind of liked how James Johnson and Blake Griffin looked on. You know, going small on those guys, I feel like, is always – it's worth a look.
Yeah, it's – and they sometimes they'll put Harden on the center. And just
that's my absolute favorite.
It was – I mean, it's really impressive. I posted the shot on a Twitter, at BK Glue Guys on Twitter. Tweeted out the new big four, and it was a picture, a bench picture – of De'Ron Sharpe, Kyrie Irving, James Harden, and Kevin Durant all laughing and smiling.
People sometimes text me and be like, who's managing your social media presence on Twitter? Why is he such a normie? And I'm like, guys, you don't understand. The normie posts are what has the potential for virality. You don't get it. It's called normies because there's a lot of normies out there.
I'm the Omicron of a social media manager. I don't kill anyone really, but it spreads, baby.
It spreads.
It spreads. Virality. Yes. And it's more or almost a joke, the new big four. But it was so exciting to see like the Nets insert someone wildly into the starting lineup and him do well. And this transitions to the three kettle, the big three kettle, Kessler Edwards, the nickname that is ravaging the nation, the three kettle. What did you think of Kess Ed out there?
I liked it. It looked there's a lot of it is promising. I think that this is, I mean, I don't know that I would like to see if we can actually get to a rotation at some point, because I feel like Kessler Edwards is a guy that in particular would really benefit from some kind of consistency. He just feels like a regimented bro in human. That sense. Human, yeah. A normal human. So like him just like randomly starting against, you know, a Eastern Conference foe.
One of the biggest games of the year, ESPN, Bulls versus Nets. Basically both teams have like full capacity that, you know, the Bulls don't have Caruso, but they have everyone else in their lineup. And the Nets in this game start De'Ron Sharpe and Kessler Edwards.
Love it. It's true Nash move. And it worked. It worked out. And I think it's because those two guys in particular actually like kind of mesh really well with what we're trying to do. I mean, as a proxy for Joe Harris, you could do worse than Kessler Edwards. You know, Bambi legs and all, he's still very jittery, but he's excitable and he's got a lot of energy and he's a lot more athletic than many of the guys out there. He's like way athletic. I didn't really realize how springy he is.
That was the exciting part about, I mean, you know, I think I remember reading about his like combine notes and all that stuff, that he had like a 40-inch vertical and all that stuff. But like, it's still, you have to wrap your brain around the fact that mostly what he was in college was a standstill three-point shooter and a defender. Like, he was known as a good defender. He was super active with his hands. He does have, like, you could tell that the Bulls were completely surprised by the hops. Like, that's going to get around that, like, oh, this guy, if he plays more, like, he can actually jump.
Watch the vertical spacing.
Watch the vertical spacing on him. I like the beginning of the game. I think it was the first three-pointer the Nets hit. Kessler Edwards like ran around a screen and was ready to receive the pass and shoot. Like immediately he got the pass, put it up from the top of the key and hit it. Mm-hmm. He was the only three he hit all game, but I appreciated that he was like, cause we had talked about the jitteriness. Mm-hmm. He was ready for at least that moment. And I think he played really well defensively. They do need that athletic wing. I don't know if he's like the guy that's going to take him in the playoffs. I don't think that. Like, let's just be honest.
But it's a lot to task him with.
The three kettle really stood out. I mean, everywhere I go, people are saying the three kettle nickname. You know, it's like on the streets.
It is getting crazy. It's sort of like Linsanity all over again. Yeah.
It's out there. Like I've been going to a lot of like teapot shops, and there's teapots with like Kessler Edwards' face on them
everywhere.
And then the number three
for
three kettle.
That sounds it's cute. Been.
It's also like tea sales have gone up a lot.
Stop this now.
Can I do my fun segment that you're going to hate?
Yeah.
I'd love to. To me, this game, this Nets Bulls game, I will forever remember it, and I will write a book about it someday, and I will name it The Narrative Shredding Game. Can the Nets beat a top team in the league? Narrative shredded. Is Harden still elite?
That's narrative shredded. That could be a Vitamix. Huh.
That's a to-go. That's a good to-go container with soda cans in it.
Okay.
Can KD, Kyrie, and Harden fit together in their short playing time? Narrative shredded. This is a yoga mat.
Being shredded? Getting shredded? Or these are all things getting shredded. Oh, okay, cool.
This is all things. KD and Harden, they play too many minutes. Narrative shredded. This is Jell-O.
Oh,
this is Jell-O getting shredded.
My gosh.
Isn't it weird?
That is weird. Oh, wow.
Steve Nash can't set a correct starting lineup. Narrative shredded.
Is it?
This is a basketball. This is a fun one. The Nets need a 3-and-D wing. I think it's Kessler Edwards. Narrative shredded.
Rubber ducky? Let me guess.
It's a rubber ducky.
Hey, I got it.
The Nets need a big man who can score consistently around the bucket. Stay around sharp. Narrative shredded.
Hang on. Styrofoam? No.
It's going to be a hard one. It's in front of you right now.
Oh,
you type on it.
It's a keyboard?
That was a keyboard.
Wow.
Deep dish pizza is pizza. Narrative shredded.
The microwave? No.
Alarm clock.
Ah.
This was the narrative shredding game.
You fight well, but you caused me enough trouble. Now you face the shredder.
The shredder?
Maybe all that hardware is for making coleslaw.
Mike, the amount people are not going to realize how much time that probably took. Did that take a while?
Can I tell you? Okay, yeah. Full honesty here. My son is sick. Okay, my son is on the couch, high fever.
So now you don't have to take care of him. So you've got a lot of free time because you've put him out to sea, basically.
I'm sitting next to him and he's saying, Daddy, I really need some water. I need cold water. And I was like, one sec.
Cold water.
One sec. I am Googling
shredded
items.
A shredded Jell-O sound clip. That's amazing. Did he ever get that water, or is he still?
No, I know. I don't know where he is, frankly. As much
that
fun
was
as
really
that was,
well done, Mike. I'm impressed.
I do think some narratives were shred. But, I mean, the top one really is like, can the Nets beat a top team in the league? And no more definitive statement than beating the Bulls on ESPN primetime on their home floor. That crowd was pretty juiced to
they
start.
They were pretty
the game.
Juiced, and that whole team got exposed, Mike. I want to feel like they got exposed.
Yeah. I mean, it was not only that, it was like this kind of game where like the Nets knew in the moment that they were like, this is going to matter that we're throwing behind the back passes on them. And like Bembry had I hung on to the rim for too long kind of dunk,
mm-hmm.
you know, like the shove it in your face kind of hang on the rim.
Mm-hmm. Have we talked about his signature dismount enough? Bembry has a signature dismount. This is how he
tell me
like you know how some people have signature dunks. He has normal dunks, two handed. He hangs there, but then he kind of like he topples off in a very specific way every time. Have you noticed this? I think it's a great way to kind of put a little flair, a little signature flair on your dunk. That's not always about the actual dunk itself. It's about how you exit
how
the
you
rim.
Dismount.
Yeah, you dismount.
I think more people need a signature dismount.
I think so too. I think it's saying. It's cool. Anyways,
good what game. A game.
Good game.
good game.
Good game.
Let's do this quick break. Coming back, we'll talk a little bit more about the game, and then we'll do news around the league.
Oh, okay.
And we're back, Brian. Wow. Before we end this game, I want to say two things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One, this version of Patty Mills is what I love.
Yeah. Who doesn't?
Corner three, Patty. Just be in that corner at the perfect time, accept the pass, and shoot it.
I mean, it starts from the top. I mean, honestly, let's talk about the fact that if, you know, this team is designed to have Kyrie Irving play, you know, We haven't talked about Javon Carter in a while. That's for good reason. You know,
Javon had a nice pull-up.
He did. He did have one nice pull-up. And that's exactly what I want to be talking about when we talk about Javon Carter. Yeah, that was the one nice shot he had. Because, you know, the way that it's supposed to be is that Javon Carter is a third-string point guard, not a second-string point guard tasked with...
Or sometimes starter.
Or sometimes starter. And this is, you know, it's important. It's important that Kyrie Irving does actually play basketball. Like,
yeah, and I think so that brings back to the Patty Mills thing, like you were saying, where it's because Kyrie was where he's on the floor and Kyrie's trying to do the things, you know, like penetrating, ball handling, all the stuff that Kyrie does. Again, did not have a good game.
No.
But what it did was it shifted Patty Mills into where Patty Mills should be in his life. Mm. Right? Like as much as I love him and I love the activity that he brings, he's not just a standstill shooter. The best version of Patty Mills is stand in the corner most of the time, maybe have some activity getting around screens and stuff like that, but just be ready to receive the open pass and take that shot. He was 6 from 8 from three, and he was hitting some devastating corner threes where the defense was so consumed by trying to contain Harden and KD and to some degree Kyrie that inevitably Patty Mills is just left wide open from three. 22 minutes, 21 points. That's perfect. And they talk about Joe Harris. You know, Joe is going to provide that too as a three-point shooter of just like being in the right place at the right time. I still have more confidence in Patty overall than Joe, but I'm here and waiting for Joe. So I was excited to see sort of the realignment. That's what Kyrie brings, the realignment of Patty Mills.
Right.
And secondly, I mean, best James Harden's game of the year. I know he scored more points and I know he's had 39 point triple doubles and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But this was a dominant, utterly brutal.
It was brutal
display on the floor. He was a Harkonnen, and they were.
He's sort of built like a Harkonnen.
Atreides.
Harkonnen. I go Harkonnen. It sounds so much better.
I know. I think Harkonnen. They
missed it. They really should have. It seems like, well, to your point, it seems like he allowed himself to have fun for the first time in a long time, Mike. That's a big important part of the James Harden experience.
Did you see post game that he even joked that? They were like, so I think it was Bryant Lewis from the Post asked Harden post game, how do you think Kyrie's do you have any hope that Kyrie's going to be here full time with the team? And Harden made a joke, is like, I'm going to give him that shot. He's going to bum rush him with a needle.
Oh, fun.
And
he's on team bum rush him with the
he's
needle.
He's on team us.
Yeah. I love that.
It was funny because KD had been, he only played 30 minutes. Kyrie only played 25, and Harden was the last star out there for the Nets with the bench players to finish off the blowout. And he was taking that time to really feel himself.
Well, there's a moment too where Nash is like, hey, can I call your number? And it was 7 minutes to go. We were up by almost 40 at this point. And he was like, I'm going to write it out. You could see that there was a little conversation where he's like, I want to play with these goofballs, these young guys. Let's do this.
And I'm going to throw behind the back passes. Yeah. And completely disrespect the Bulls, which I enjoy. I love the disrespect.
Calling your own number in that way there's a lot to like about James Harden. If you're looking in the context of the game, there's little details, super fun. One of my favorites, I think we need to have a little James Harden appreciation night at some point.
Well, and it's this version of Harden where he does have he got to the hole. He was 5 from 8 from three. We talked about that corner three that he took, the rare James Harden wide open corner three.
Yeah.
It was just, and he got at least 3 foul calls he probably shouldn't have gotten, which is what you love to see.
Yeah.
Quick plus minus. Blake Griffin was plus 34 on the night.
Big night.
Quick news and notes.
Yeah.
Blake was Blake good? Blake was fine.
Blake is confusing. He's not
play of the game. Him and Bembry diving on the floor.
Yeah, for sure.
The play where Bembry dives first, pushes it to Blake, who dives on the floor, and then gets it to, I forget who they got, Kessler Edwards, I think, to score the bucket, which was a real statement.
But. I'm confused about how I feel towards Blake Griffin at the moment. I mean, it's all very inefficient. It's all very, he's trying hard, and things are not happening easily. And obviously his range has just been completely exposed, doesn't exist, whatever attempts at having a 3-point shot are that the jig is up on that, Mike.
Yeah.
So now he's left like with back to like kind of breaking down bigger defenders off the dribble and things like that. He's kind of like trying to work mismatches, and that's not really ever what we want to be doing. It's like not a very efficient offensive play to run. And when it works, it looks cool, and that's like it's a highlight and it's fun. But like, I don't know what to do with Blake right now. Like,
it is weird to think that this team has Blake Griffin and he just kind of doesn't feel essential at all.
It is. Isn't it weird that his offensive game is basically like, I break you down off the dribble. I'm like this 6'9" power forward who like, he's like, I'm like old Sean Kemp is sort of like what he's like the decrepit years of Sean Kemp.
And I love, like, I think it's like an amazing thing for him that he has transitioned from the ultimate human highlight to like, what are they? The blue collar, you know, like yeah. wearing the hard hat and taking charges and being a pest. Like, that's a kind of incredible transition. It's, I wouldn't call it a graceful transition. It's just like, it's like a pretty amazing. It's like a, I don't know, what's a good man in the iron mask. Like, wasn't,
you know, I actually haven't, like I haven't prince? Seen it. And I'm going to put a post-it note, go watch Man in the Iron Mask.
Pretty good. Pretty good. I, what I remember, I mean, you know, I don't want to have people rushing out to watch a 3-hour
Jeremy
movie.
Irons. Jeremy Irons.
Jeremy Irons, of course. I'm always in. I watch House of Gucci. Jeremy Irons was in that. Just like I, you know, the Nets were the dominant team. It felt good. Best win of the year. My last question to you is, does it matter? Like, does it matter the fact that, like, it showed that, hey, the Nets can reach the ceiling against a really good team? Or is it just one of the, like, you know, it's a January, the Bulls are on a back-to-back. How much can we really take away from it?
I think it both matters. I think I'm just going to say it. Let's go all in. It matters. I like this win. It was an important one. They had that little infographic of us losing 8 of our 8 games against the top 8 teams in the league, which is lame and not a cool data point to have. So, and I would say, like, it's important symbolically for that reason, but also it was important just because it was a gelling moment. There is a cohesiveness. There is a good spirited
jello.
There is a jello,
shredded jello
feeling in the room. And you know, without getting those types of wins,
it's also the name of my ska band in the 90s, Shredded Jello.
Ooh, love that. Stop. Don't. I'm gonna keep on. Stop. No, Mike, don't. I could see you wanting to. But yeah, you can't fake the funk with like a positive kind of energy. So you do need some advice to stop this. So if you've been hanging out with kids too often, you've been hanging out with too many kids. I don't know. Is it a big deal for you, Mike? Did you like it? Was that good for you?
It was good. It is a big deal for this reason, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
James Harden joke. There's some honesty in all jokes, right? I think there's some honesty where he's like, I'm going to give Kyrie the shot, jokingly saying like, he's going to bum rush him with a needle and inject him with the meat vaccine, the anti-vegan vaccine. I think it does provide an emotional data point to Kyrie, Kevin Durant, and James Harden to be like, God damn, look what we can be. Yes. Like, look at the heights we can reach.
We haven't had this at all this season. We've had such not high highs.
Yeah.
Low highs. Like,
Durant and Harden have been playing the most minutes in the NBA besides Fred VanVleet's number one, and then it's KD, James Harden. They've been busting their behinds, taking this team and trying to make them the top team in the East. And then now they're, you know, a game behind the Bulls or whatever they are right now. Kyrie didn't even play well. He only played 25 minutes, and yet the team had their best game all year. They blew out the best team in the East right now on their home floor. If that doesn't provide sort of that emotional lift to say, hey, Kyrie, like, and we're going to talk about this in News Around the League. There's other factors that may lead to Kyrie being able to play on at home without getting the vaccine. And I understand all that. But still, the best thing for global health, for the Nets, for Kyrie Irving's health and everything else is for him to get vaccinated, right? If nothing provides that lift, and for Kevin Durant and James Harden to be on their WeChat with Kyrie saying, dude, How good was that?
Yeah.
Like, that was good.
Let's bring it home. Let's let the home crowd see that more often.
Because Kyrie said post game, they were like asking him what he does when the Nets are home. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm just chilling in Jersey. And he's like, you guys don't understand how many people where I'm from love the Nets. And he was joking about how he would love to go to a local bar and watch the game and take shots every time Kevin Durant scores a bucket or something. Like, he made that joke.
Mm-hmm.
Kyrie.
You'd be pretty drunk if every time you'd be turned up.
Kyrie, imagine the feeling of getting vaccinated, feeling healthy, and then walking out onto that home floor at Barclays. The adulation would be unlike anything you've heard before in your career.
And this is some, I don't know if I've said this before, but I was thinking about this, which is that, like, you know, Kyrie Irving in his not with the team days, you know, is presumably truly not with the team, hanging out with like his aunt, who it appears everyone there is an anti-vaxxer or something, just surrounded by that energy. And then, like, now to be reintroduced to the world, and it's like, oh, we're in a room full of 20,000 people are here. They're all vaccinated. Everyone here is vaccinated. Like, oh, I'm the only, I guess I'm the only one. And that's just going to happen over and over and over again. Be like, truly, like, oh, all these like now hundreds of thousands of people that I'm seeing and, you know, interacting with, they're all vaccinated, and it's just my aunt back in Jersey who's also anti-vax, and he, you know, the poison being poured in his ear, maybe it's going to have less influence. That's maybe the hope.
What a great place to get to.
Mm-hmm. It's the news.
Wow.
All right. News around the league.
Nice.
Classic. We start with the Nets. So Stephen Bondi wrote a story for the Daily News, and I'll get into what Bondi reported. This is not going to be a shots at Bondi, because I do like Bondi and I've talked to him before. Very nice guy.
What's about to happen here, Mike? What are you about to do?
Because if you've been on Nets Twitter, people have been kind of dragging him a little bit for this report. He wrote in a report basically outlining the fact that the Nets or any other business in New York could just simply get fined like $2,000 to $5,000 for multiple offenses for allowing an unvaccinated person to work in a setting that should be vaccinated.
Mike, is your issue with this that he snaked our story that we actually talked about this like a month ago? Is that your primary issue?
No, that's not my. We actually talked about like literally the moment when the key to NYC, de Blasio's executive order. I know we had that conversation like the moment that thing came out, because I, you know, I can read PDFs.
Ooh, you got Acrobat? The paid version of Acrobat?
That Acrobat.
Oh, boy.
I'm on that Acrobat kick. So it was like in the executive order. This isn't like some secret document that you had to scrounge into City Hall in. Like, it was available for the world to read, and I read it, and we discussed it on the show. So the basic nut of it is that, and I'll quote, this is from the Bondi article. He says, let me present the penalties for non-compliance to the key to the NYC, which is the vaccine ordinance, as outlined by Bill de Blasio's executive order. First offense is a warning. Second offense, $1,000 fine. Third offense, $2,000 fine. Fourth offense is a $5,000 fine. Fifth offense to affinity offenses is continuing to be capped at $5,000 fines. So that is, let's say Kyrie plays 5 home games. The Nets are warned one time, then they're fined $1,000, then they're fined $2,000, then fined $5,000, and then fined $5,000. Okay, that's what this is implying. There's an issue. Like, so that's exciting. It's an exciting idea to think, oh my God, the Nets could just have Kyrie Irving. They just allow him to be unvaccinated because it seems like he's not getting vaccinated. And they'll just pay little fines. Josiah's a billionaire. These little, they're baby fines. What are the, that's nothing to Josiah. Yeah,
nothing.
Okay. There's a lot of complexity to this. And I don't really want to get too much into it. But basically, from what I can tell, the NBA set forth, you know, all those many months ago before the season, that the teams and league will comply with whatever the local policies are.
Wait, hold on. You went policy instead of ordinance there? What's going on?
Yeah, I switched it up on you.
My God. Okay. All right. Wasn't ready.
And so it's all about that the NBA and the teams are binding themselves to local law. They're kind of shielding themselves and using the local ordinances and policies to shield themselves and say, hey, if your city says you can't play if you're unvaccinated, then you can't play. Okay? Like whatever the rules are. Now it's murky and it could be a lawsuit, right? Like honestly, like Kyrie, the most productive thing he could probably do if he wants to play and play unvaccinated is to sue the city. Because you can get an emergency court hearing because there's an immediate like sense of harm and all this stuff. Like you could do that and we could get resolution to this. It's murky. My thing is that like if this is called reality, right? Mm. These ordinances aren't made in a vacuum, my friend. They're made by politicians.
Okay, got it.
Okay. If Kyrie Irving wanted to, and the Nets wanted to defy the city in this way, in such a public way, this would be the biggest, like Fox News would be doing live shows outside Barclays and hailing the hero that is Kyrie Irving. Mm-hmm. If he, in fact, defied local ordinance in New York City to play unvaccinated in front of 18,000 people.
Yeah. There's a whole big PR, you know, problem with being like, I'm so rich that multiple $5,000 fines don't matter. And so your rules don't apply to me. it's not good optics.
And if he did that,
yeah.
Not even thinking of like how Joe Tsai would feel, because Joe Tsai, the owner of the Nets, has been very public of like, all my employees are getting vaccinated. I agree with him. Obviously, he'd rather the Nets win a championship than like hold to that standard. I understand that. The city would immediately, the new mayor would have to react to the politics of the moment and would immediately be like, we're upping these fines. Like we're like, in this special circumstance, we're upping these fines and we're going to make it really difficult for the Nets to do this because the city would look bad and it would be embarrassing and it would undermine the entire city's COVID policy. So it's just to say, like, even though this Stephen Bondi report, like, it's not even, I mean, it's not, a, you know, it's a good story, even though this, you know, was in the PDF in October, in the PDF. Maybe they don't have Acrobat.
They could not, yeah.
No, I don't want to.
They're just the trial version.
A lot. Yeah. No, but people are, like, really picking up on it, and there's a lot of excitement. I just don't want people to think, like, oh, the Nets can just pay fines.
Yeah.
Because I really think the politics of the moment will dictate that that's not going to be the case.
Nice.
Also coming up, Simmons meeting, Brian, who's around the league.
Okay,
this is from Woj. The NBA trade deadline's a month away, and Ben Simmons' agent has met with Rich Paul, has met with the 76ers to discuss Simmons' future. And Simmons is no closer to returning to the team, and the sides remain on a stalemate. Let me ask you this, Brian. What's the best thing for the Nets? Simmons returns to the 76ers disgruntled because no trade happens. Simmons does not play at all this season, or the 76ers complete a trade and do trade Simmons away, but they get like a De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield package that's like just not all that, doesn't move the needle. Do you know what I mean? A non-needle moving trade.
Yeah.
No trade, or Simmons comes back.
I like the status quo of there being an angry stalemate. I mean, like what's currently happening with the Sixers looks great. I mean, they're not on my radar at all. And I'm not super spooked about playing them in a playoff series should that ever happen. So like what's currently going on is I think the best. And I can rank them, I guess, after that. I think the trade is my least favorite situation, 'cause at least it creates some opportunity for them to improve. So yeah, I guess him coming back disgruntled would be second favorite. Just because I have a sense that probably is going to go very poorly. Yeah, I think that's how I'd rank them.
Yeah, I agree. I think stalemate's good. The thing, I wouldn't even hate a trade fully because I just don't think the value for him is all that high. Like, we're seeing reports that they want to include Tobias Harris in the deal.
Yeah.
Did you see what Tobias, this is so sad. You know, this is the impact of trade rumors.
Mm.
Tobias Harris was asked about those trade rumors. So the reports have been out that the 76ers are considering packaging Tobias Harris' contract with Ben Simmons to clear cap space so they can make a run at James Harden this summer, which of course would impact the Nets. I still like don't know why Harden would definitely want to go to Philly. Like that doesn't really line up for me. Tobias Harris was asked about these rumors and he said like, I really don't want to talk about it because it's been weighing on my mental health for like past 2 days.
Yeah. Way to go in, like, Tobias. Like, yeah, let him know.
I loved it. I loved it. Like, yeah, it sucks. It would suck to be like so casually thrown out there as.
Like, it's also like it pointed at the journalist too. It's like, you know, you realize what you're doing is hurting me. Do you realize that? What you're saying, those words hurt. They hurt my feelings.
Which I appreciate too. Putting your own anxiety on other people. That's sort of the way I.
True.
The way
I know that. In my marriage. I know that.
And friendship.
And our work marriage. Yeah. Just kidding. You've always been good to me, Mike. Always been good. No worries. We're good.
Don't talk about it. Shredded Jell-O. I'm savoring this Simmons issues. Like, it seems like there's really no there won't be resolution. I mean, we did get some Cam Reddish movement, right? We got the Cam Reddish trade. So maybe more trades are going to be picking up. But I don't think there's no deus ex machina for the 76ers. Last one thing.
Okay.
Looks like Damian Lillard may be done for the year. Mm-hmm. He got abdomen surgery.
What is an abdomen surgery? I saw that. I was like, what part of the abdomen?
Be painful as hell.
What part? I just thought that was like a region. C-section. I didn't know that was a thing.
He had a baby.
Yeah,
he had a baby. Like,
what part of the abdomen?
That has to be painful. Oh, and another big trade news. Bol Bol's trade with the Pistons has been voided because he didn't pass health inspection.
Oh,
they tried Nets trade for Bol Bol?
Yeah, that's interesting. Can you pass somebody else's health like inspection thing? It's like if your car doesn't pass inspection, you just take it to another place and see if you can get it through. You know, like
do you remember when the Kyrie Isaiah Thomas trade that sent Kyrie to Boston, that they declared the trade, it was happening. Then they looked at Isaiah Thomas's hip and they realized that he would basically never be the same guy again.
Well, this is the Sharif Abdur-Rahim rescinded. Famously.
And the Cavs were like still like, yeah, we'll still do this. Just give us some extra second round picks.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Yeah. So they tried to sell him a lemon with Bol Bol. And it didn't work out, huh?
I kind of want Bol Bol. I don't care.
Of course you do, Mike. You love every meme player. You want him and Taco Fall and everybody else. George Mirason, bring him out.
I told you, right, that I saw George Mirason at a 7-Eleven recently.
Well, no. At a 7-Eleven.
My guy. So I live near, I used to live near where George Mirason lives here in Maryland.
Wow.
And not that I knew that, but obviously I did research post meeting Mirason. I go to my local 7-Eleven, get my coffee, like an average Joe. And I'm walking up. You know how like there's like a counter, and then there's the coffee canisters that you dispense the coffee out of.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a human head floating above all that. I was like, well, that guy's pretty high. And I'm walking there. I was thinking, is he standing on the counter for some reason? What's going on? It's George Mirason wearing Wizards gear, like Wizard sweats, a wizard. Because you got to think these 7-footers.
So much. Yeah. That's good.
They only
be...
have so many clothes they can buy.
Right.
So like basketball clothes. And he was getting, you know, he didn't even get a large coffee. He got like a medium.
Wow. Medium coffee. Anything else? What did he put in it? Cream?
I think it was like just a medium coffee.
Flavored cream?
There was a snack. I think there's also a promotion at 7-Eleven at the time where if you get a coffee, you also get a free muffin. So I think he picked up a muffin. Can't tell if it was blueberry or corn. I don't know if it was a corn muffin.
Okay.
But he got a muffin, and the guys at 7-Eleven knew him, and they paid. And then it took him like a minute to get into his car because he's a giant.
He just to wedge himself in there?
What a pain in the ass.
You ever read the memoirs, or it's like a graphic novel memoir of Andre the Giant? He says when he had to go wrestle in Japan, he'd use the bathtub as a toilet because he would just like envelop the Japanese toilets. They're too small. It's a true story. Anyways, what were we talking about? We had news around the league or something?
Bol Bol.
Good news.
Manu Bol back playing for the Wizards.
Back on the market. Let's get him.
Yes. So that's it. So. To wrap up the show, Bri, what a game. It looks like no one's really going to play in that Thunder game. I think the Nets have their next game's like against the Thunder. Maybe it seems like Harden's going to be. Yeah, it's today. It's back at home.
Well, those are fake games. Home games are fake games until Kyrie starts playing them. That's the meme. I don't make the rules. These are the rules of the memes.
Here's the schedule coming up. It's interesting. Thunder, Pelicans at home. at Cleveland. That's a big game at 3 o'clock on a Monday.
What? Oh, what is it? Is it Martin Luther King? Yeah.
Yeah, is it's it? Gotta be.
It's gotta be. Yeah, the 17th.
At the Wizards here. Maybe I'll go to that one. Maybe I should go to that one. At San Antonio. So we have that the 4-game stretch on the road where it's just gonna be Kyrie all the time. And then home Lakers, home Denver. And then it's another 5-game road trip. Warriors, Suns, Kings, Jazz, Denver. A lot of meaty games coming up, a lot of them on the road. Wow. And a lot of them are going to involve Kyrie Irving. I think like something like 15 of the next Nets games are like 10 of 15 are on the road, if not more than that. So there's a lot of Kyrie coming up.
Very good. Exciting. Take us out, Mike.
Brian, thank you so much for listening. Ooh. Check us out on Twitter at BKGlueGuys. Find us on Twitter. I already talked about that. Yeah. Apple Podcasts.
5 stars.
NetsDaily.com, The Athletic, yeah. New York Times, Tesla.
Elon Musk. Thanks, everybody.